You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Ladies and gentlemen, the older I get, the more I realize that everything I've ever believed in has been absolutely true, and everything that I've ever fought for has been worth it. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC, A Nation on Fire, this Saturday evening, June the 6th. The days are wicked, the righteous are few, Western civilization is at a critical crossroads, but I know this. Our culture and our people are beautiful. We are worthy of preservation. For God's sake, stand up!
Be counted.
I'm proud of my ancestors. I'm proud of my history. I will never kneel. I will never bow. I will never apologize. We have been and still remain a wonderful blessing to mankind. Never apologize for being a part of greatness. Stand tall, be proud, and face what's coming. Face what is out there today with your shoulders squared and set an example for your family. I told Keith at dinner earlier tonight, I don't know where to start this evening. We are not going to rush our coverage of what has transpired here in America and around the world over the course of the last week and a half. We will not be able to cover it all in one show. We will probably be spending the entire month peeling this onion and its ramifications. I would say the entire month of June is going to be dedicated in some shape, form, or fashion to the events of the past few days. So what we're going to be doing tonight, yours truly, James Edwards and Keith Alexander, are going to be providing commentary on the nationwide riots and a multifaceted analysis of the historic unrest. Later in the show, retired police officer James Lancia, our good friend, correspondent here at TPC for a long time, we're going to join us as well to offer his take on how the law enforcement community has responded to the insurrection. But I would just begin by saying this, I guess, over the past week and a half, and it's only been that long, it seems like it's been a year, but over the past week and a half, the results of decades of third world immigration and anti-white propaganda have become crystal clear. The riots are now nationwide. They have reached the White House grounds and beyond. Anarchy reigns in city after city. This is what happened when men become weak. Keith Alexander, we talked last week, and we didn't spend a lot of time on this last week because I knew it would still be a big story. I don't think I knew it would be as big as it's gotten, but I knew we would have 3 hours tonight and subsequent shows to come to really sink our teeth into this, and I didn't want to try to shoehorn it in last week when we already had Nick Griffin and so on. But I told you last week when all we had to go on was George Floyd had died and a police officer had been involved. I said before anything came out, it's going to turn out he was on drugs. It's going to turn out he had a laundry list record of criminality. And of course,
none of that matters.
Well, none of it matters, but it was true. He was on so many drugs, it was amazing he could even walk. He was on fentanyl. He was on a lot of drugs that cause heart attack. Of course, heart attack, cardiac arrest contributed to his death. You could say, well, he wouldn't have died had the cop not kneeled on him for 8 minutes. I say, well, you're probably right about that. But you could also say with great certainty that he wouldn't have died if a few things. If he hadn't been on drugs, if he hadn't been engaged in the committance of a crime, and if he had not resisted arrest.
Well, you know, I believe that it was very important that he was on fentanyl. Fentanyl causes heart attacks, okay? And when you have a heart attack, guess what? You feel like you can't breathe. I think this whole thing is a red herring about the knee on the neck. That I looked at that thing. I've seen that picture time and again. I've seen the footage as it's moving. That guy was not trying to come down on him. He wasn't pressing him hard. He was not beating on him or anything like that. He just basically was keeping him immobile. Now, you can say what you want to, but when you get a 6'6", 200-plus-pound individual who is resisting arrest, that's going to get your attention. And the only option the police had would have been to let him go. And you cannot let people that are in the process of being arrested go and be an effective police force. If a police force is telling policemen to do that, then we have no police force. We basically have the rabble ruling in cities like Minneapolis.
Again, just so much to this. I don't know where to start, but what justice are they burning down the country for? Because the officers involved in this were all immediately fired. Derek Chauvin was immediately arrested. He's probably going to hang for this. And so I don't understand what they're burning down, looting, arson. Well, I do understand it, and you understand it too deep down inside. But you know, the delicious irony here is that they are going after all of these, as we say it in the parlance of modern speak, woke companies that are completely in the tank for them. These rioters, these thugs, black and white, and there are a lot of mentally ill white people out there too doing this. We're going to talk about all of this as the show goes on. But these rioters, these criminals, are not raging against the system. They represent the system. They are the system. The system, all of these businesses and corporations that they've been targeting as a result of their lawlessness, they prop them up. They fund them.
You know, that's a delicious irony, the whole scenario, as far as I'm concerned, James. The more woke the companies are, the more they're being targeted by the rabble. Okay.
And you said today, too, Keith, that a lot of it was happening in blue states. And I said, well, yeah, but what about Atlanta? And you said, well, Atlanta's a blue state island in red state Georgia. But you're right. I mean, a lot of this Minnesota, New York, nationwide, I mean, you couldn't begin to name all the cities. It'd be quicker to name the cities where there hasn't been unrest. But a lot of this is happening where you have this liberal ideology really reigning supreme. But, of course, the conservatives have been as weak as you would expect them to
be. Well, you know, it's a Me Too movement. In other words, all the woke companies are saying, Me Too. I can't. We're falling all over themselves to try to pacify and appease the Black Lives Matter, Antifa element. And all that's doing is making them a target. They're coming after them. That is the best part of this. You can run, but you can't hide. You know, if you think that you're going to talk your way out of the race war, folks, it ain't going to happen. Just think about what is happening. All these people that are trying their very best to appease the left, to give stuff up and things like this, what they're actually proving is that you can be colorblind, but you're not colorblind in the eyes of the left. They're coming after you. Your white skin is your uniform, and the more you protest that you're not part of the problem, they're going to make you the focus of the problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're just getting started tonight. The entire 3 hours solely dedicated to this issue. And, of course, later in the show, retired police officer Jim Lancia coming on to give us his take and what a take it's going to be on law enforcement in this day and age. Stay tuned.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Many years ago now, I was getting ready to board a flight to New York City to appear on CNN for an hour-long panel discussion on race relations in America. And before I boarded that flight, I was talking on the phone to Keith Alexander, who said, if you get a chance during the show, you might want to say you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. Now, that is actually one of the things attributed to me much more than most. I guess if there's one quote I'm known for, it's that. Keith was the one who put that in my ear. I did flatly tell the national television audience just that. And, of course, recent activity in Minnesota and now nationwide continues to prove me and us right. Let me tell you this from the heart, folks. I value nothing more than loyalty, and I despise nothing more than cowardice. Courage is contagious, but so is fear, and so I would encourage and admonish you to wake up and realize the fact that they hate you. These are not your institutions anymore. Not academia, not the police, not the corporations you work for, not the schools, not the media, not the churches, and especially not the Republican Party. They are in open war against you. Stop apologizing and stand up for yourself. I have been fortunate in my life to have been publicly condemned for my beliefs by the media, by the Southern Baptist Convention, by Hillary Clinton, by Donald Trump Jr., by the United States Congress, and by many others. But because I endured those attacks, without ever apologizing, it gives me the authority to criticize those who don't. Anybody can say, well, if they came after me, I know what I would do, but you don't know. You don't know until you've been through it. And there are a lot of cowardly, fearful white people today marching in lockstep with these demons that are out there on a mission of violence and destruction. And again, I say, Keith, these people that are out there are... I'm trying to understand. You have every major corporation singing their tune, giving them hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. The celebrity culture is behind them. The media is behind them. The two-party duopoly is behind them. What more do they want, I wonder?
What they want is...
If that's oppression, I want some of it.
Yeah, look, let me tell you what is happening. Whites are trying to split the white population into two groups. They want to be the good whites and the bad whites, okay? But guess what? By trying to profess yourself to be a member of the good white group, you're making yourself a target. These Antifa and Black Lives Matter and leftists aren't going to let you buy some type of dispensation for yourself by saying that you're a good white and that you're going to give them money, you're going to do this, that, and the other. Those are the people they're coming after. And I quite frankly, I think it's wonderful that that's what's going on, because it's going to show these people that there's not, you can run, but you can't hide. You cannot tell them that the bad guy went that away. The very fact that you're pointing that the bad guy went somewhere else, that means that all these leftists, all these radicals, all this rabble is coming after you. That's the way to make yourself a target. You know, that's, you know, that would, that they think that basically it's like putting a Ku Klux Klan hood on your head and waving a rebel flag. That's what that's what they're doing. If you come in and say, I want to, you were telling me before the show started about some nincompoop CEO that said that he was resigning.
Voluntarily resigning because that company needs to appoint a black man in his position. That's
yeah,
his.
And you know what? All he's done, they're going to hound him to death. This is the best thing. That's the best part of this. The left has decided we're not going to allow there to be a dispensation for any group of white people. If you're white, you are the enemy, and they're coming after you.
Well, I ask this rhetorically. Is it just me, or does a certain segment of the population secretly enjoy these fake racist cop incidents because they know it gives them free rein to loot, plunder, and raise? Jared Taylor had a video out this week talking about the fake racist cop brutality narrative, and just how, I mean, statistics back it up, but the statistics would make your eyes glaze over. Nobody, I mean, it's important to know it, I guess, but no, I mean, they know that they can go out and do whatever they want, and there is no central ideology. I mean, obviously, they're not mourning poor George Floyd. I mean, they couldn't care less about it, truth be known, and you know that that's true. And there's no central political ethos to what they're doing either, because we've seen this week. I got a friend of mine in the UK told me today that there are two statues in front of the House of Parliament in London, one to Abraham Lincoln and one to accurate. One to war criminal Abraham Lincoln and one to war criminal Winston Churchill, and that the mob there have been using both of those statues as a public toilet today, urinating and whatever else you do at a toilet. And that was, of course, the fruits of their lives now come to fruition. But even here in the United States, Keith, they vandalized and defaced a monument in Boston, Massachusetts, to the 54th Massachusetts, which was the all-black regiment that got crushed in South Carolina.
Yeah, they had a movie about it. See, the thing is, these people are such historical and cultural illiterates that they don't know. But
They just saw a monument that they must have thought belonged to a white person, so, you know, it goes.
So they did it. So they pissed on themselves, basically. But, you know, this is what is happening now is that there is obviously a master plan somewhere. Like, they were waiting for the Dylann Roof incident or something like that to come along in order to start taking down Confederate flags and Confederate statues. Now, it's obvious that they're waiting for the next arrest and death of a black person. They first tried this Arbery fellow, but he looked like he might be too guilty of malfeasance in some way. So they switched to, what's his name?
George Floyd, who was hardly an All-American. He had done jail time for armed robbery. He had pulled a gun on a pregnant black woman. He had all sorts of crimes and misdemeanors on his record, almost as long as the amount of drugs in his system at the time of his death.
He seemed like a better candidate for their purposes.
Any port in the storm, any of them will do.
So what they did was they've used him to start a whole new group of offensives against white America and white Europe and white people generally, and they're basically separating the sheep from the goats. So you're finding out who the cucks are and who will stand
it's
up.
It's all coming from an animus of a hatred of white people and, to a lesser extent, a hatred of Donald Trump. And we'll get to his inaction as the show goes on, too. We're not
going to
forget
this.
About that. But I'm just saying, Keith, it all comes from a hatred of white people, and it has to come from there because, again, what are they protesting? All of the American businesses are in the tank with them, the media, the politicians.
Well, all of the big businesses. See, that's exactly the point. See, the small mom-and-pop businesses – those people are standing tall with their shotguns in their stores, and when the crowd comes by, they come out brandishing a shotgun.
And sometimes they get the hell beat out of them. We've seen some videos of that this week, but they're protesting.
Well, that's for the ones that didn't bring the firearms, okay? If you came out there with something less than a firearm, then you are liable to be beaten to a pulp. But on the other hand, James, the people that came out with the shotguns, they head protesters headed for the hills. On the other hand, all these big companies that are doing their best to appease them, they're just saying it's open season. Go knock off the Target. Go knock off the Walmart. Go knock off the Costco or whatever. You know, all these big companies that are virtue signaling, basically what they're signaling is that I'm a victim. Beat me.
Well, and there you have 100,000, 200,000 of these people in Washington, D.C. today protesting in Black Lives Matter Plaza, where the mayor of Washington, Muriel Bowser, has just renamed it. So you're, you know, how oppressed are you? I wonder, what more do you want? What more could you possibly get? You got preferential treatment in hirings and in scholarships. What more do you want?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The funeral for George Floyd was a peaceful event with no protesters allowed. The service happened in West Fayetteville, North Carolina. Diana Shipp, a relative of the Floyd family, gave strong words of comfort to his family and his supporters.
Please remember that God's grace is sufficient. God's love is comfort in sadness, peace in weariness, healing in despair.
Floyd's uncle, Isaac Floyd, dedicated a brief second to talk with his family.
Just let you know, that's my brother's son. That's my nephew lying there. And my whole family is with me. Not all everybody, but just about everybody is here. John, Tanya, Terrence, and Bridget, I love you so much.
This is USA Radio News.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The country is bracing for reopening amid the coronavirus pandemic. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is discussing the guidelines for phase one of the reopening of New York City's economy.
It's construction, it's manufacturing, it's curbside pickup. Pursuant to these rules, curbside pickup, in-store pickup where curbside is not practical, they're prearranged, you're not there to browse and shop, social distancing, construction and manufacturing, masks must be worn.
Phase one reopening starts on Monday. And following the successful jobs report for May, U.S. Labor Secretary Eugene Scalia is discussing how the Trump administration can maintain its success and help minority communities.
The policies that brought us that, free markets, free people, that needs to stay at the top of the agenda when we talk about continuing to help those communities.
In May, the unemployment rate dropped from 14.7% to 13.3%. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Well, 2020, I mean, what can we say, guys? I mean, first, the coronavirus hysteria. I guess that's not a thing anymore. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the nationwide rioting, the likes of which this country hasn't seen in my lifetime, not until 1968. This is the L.A. riots nationwide, basically. And a play on the famous, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population, or if you prefer, you can have a civilized society or you can have a diverse society, but you can't have both. Keith, I don't think ever in my life did I think we would see a day come, and we're going to talk about this extensively in the third hour with Jim Lancia. So I don't want to get onto it, just maybe 1 minute from you on this, because the law enforcement angle, what's going on with law enforcement, we will touch with retired police officer Jim Lancia, who was a rough and tumble, old school beat cop, kick the door in, arrest the bad guy, alpha cop.
Let the chips fall where they may.
But I mean, now we're seeing, Keith, I saw with my own eyes these arsonists go into an American city, sack a police station, burn it, and the cops run from them. Yeah. And you know, we did that. You remember back in 2015 when we did this, the Nathan Bedford Forest rally in 2015. We had 500 people. The SPLC wrote about it. It was the second biggest pro-Confederate rally in 2015. And there were a lot of those in the aftermath of the Dylann Roof murders. They were really coming after the monuments, and we wanted to stand up for our ancestors. And we had 500 people here in Memphis, and it was peaceful, and there was not one punch thrown. I mean, not one cuss word, not one piece of trash left. But in organizing that, I got a call from the Department of Homeland Security. I got a call from the local police, and they said, well, it looks like more people are going to come than the permit says you're supposed to have, and we're going to shut you down if there's one more person there than you're supposed to have. So what I'm saying is, the cops were on top of that, and the Department of Homeland Security even called on me. And we were able to have the event, and it was one of the greatest and most triumphant things we've ever done here at TPC. But I'm just saying, they were on top of that. They were going to shut that down, no problem, but you can literally burn down cities, and they will not arrest you. Didn't they used to shoot people during riots?
Absolutely. And see, this is what I think is happening. Put it in a nutshell. Coronavirus, they want to see how much will these people knuckle under for, okay? Let's let them knuckle under and have, you know, see if they will wear masks, if they will act like fools, if they will commit economic suicide. Well, the answer is yes, yes, yes to all of those type of questions. Then they come out with this, what about riots in which basically the lesson you're supposed to draw from that is that you cannot arrest a black person that does not want to be arrested. If a black person resists arrest, that's righteous and holy, and anyone that doesn't honor that and let the guy go, well, then he's a racist. He is a trading on white privilege. And basically our whole society, the fact that we have laws against resisting arrest is just a racist honky plot. So see, they're going to come back with one more, one after another, to just see how far, how much we will take and how much of our civilization we will cede to them. In other words, let them take it over, give it up. I tell you what, nobody's going to want to be a white policeman after all of this.
Well, how could you police a non-white now? They've absolutely sanctioned total lawlessness. And the point I was making about the incident we had, and we had, a, you know, 500 people came that day, at least 500. We undershoot it because we don't want to exaggerate it. But it was at least 500. We got a lot of pictures on the website. It was great. We worked with the local SCV on that, and we had a great turnout. But I'm saying, we had to get a permit. If we had not had a permit, they would have shut it down. And I'm not trying to be a school marm here, but you cannot shut down interstates and major thoroughfares. That is a felony. That's illegal. These people don't have permits, but that's the least of the illegalities.
They did that 4 years ago in Memphis, Interstate 40, the major interior east-west thoroughfare of the United States of America. They shut it down for 4 hours. That was, I told you at the time, that was a trial balloon to see what they could get away with.
This is the point.
And see, this is what they're doing. They're seeing just exactly what they can get away with. Okay, I'm going to have to swallow the mic, apparently. We got to get some better equipment in here. But anyway.
Or at least hold it towards your face.
Well, it is. It's right here, okay?
Now.
Okay. I feel like deep throat or something. But anyway, what is going to happen is they're finding out just how far we'll knuckle under to them. The police, no white kid with any sense wants to be a policeman today. You don't get paid that much. You're vilified. And if you do anything that the left decides they want to make a issue out of, you can be in jail for the rest of your life. So, or if you cuck out, you say, well, I'm not going to be tough on these guys. Somebody like Ahmaud Arbery or George Floyd will kill you, you know, and they, of course, and if you're killed like that, nobody will bat an eye. There won't be white people coming out and trying to start riots or civil insurrections about you. Basically, you are, you know, it's like Paul Simon said, laugh about it, shout about it when you have to choose. Every way you look at it, you lose. That's what's, that they're putting us in that trick bag as white people. Now, white people are going to have to stand up for themselves. We're going to have to, you know, you cannot bend the knee to the left invariably. Here, for example, I mentioned this to you before the show. There are many more white people victimized by black criminals every year in the United States and Europe than the other way around. Black people victimized by white criminals. What if we decided you're going to go around here, here's a black guy, get down on your knees and apologize to me as a representative of the white race and you as a representative of the black race for all of this white criminality that white people have had to suffer due to black people being here? Well, I don't think that would get very far, but that's basically, turn it around, that's what they're trying to do now by making little snowflake girls and boys and like that, white people, sit down and bow down. They are ordering them to bow down and start making some type of Stalinist show trial confession about the evils of white people, and they're a representative of a white person. This is what they're, this is, you know, this is a prelude to something much darker than this, James.
All right. So everything you said is true. And I want to wrap up this one analogy, or this one comparison is the right word. They were going to shut us down in Memphis a few years ago if we had one more person than the permit stipulated, much less shutting down a street. But now you can burn out police stations. You can do all of these things. And the police are again, we're going to get into this
police
with Jim
Mazin. For the hill.
Well, not, that was in the good old days of last week. This week, they're bowing before these people. They are bowing and kneeling. And, you know, for all of Trump's tough talk, and I wish he'd have done it. I wish for once he'd have followed through. They have got something on him that I tell you, you don't want to know about, because they have to have reminded him who is really in charge of this country.
And it's the Jewish power and influence. Well, and if Jared Kushner could be taken out of the equation, I'd like to see.
I don't believe that, though, because I mean,
he's the last chance we've
got. He's the sitting president of the United States.
Can you think of one more politician of you know, national stature that could possibly represent our interests?
No, you're right about that.
There's not one.
But the whole
Lindsey Graham, you know, look what's happened to him this week.
Kushner, though, the whole thing that his son-in-law, who's this powerless aide, this is the sitting president of the United States. Now, they may kill him and they may have
stuff
on
him. But he represents Jewish power and influence.
But I can tell you this. Trump said, you know, National Guard, we're going to stop this. We're going to do the Insurrection Act. I guarantee you if there was a school that needed integrating, he wouldn't have had a problem pulling the trigger. You know, like they didn't have a problem pulling the trigger in the 60s. But, my God, fasten your seatbelts, boys and girls.
No, we're going forward at warp speed now. You talk about accelerations. I said that Dylann Roof was an accelerationist. The left, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, they're all accelerationists on steroids. They are basically trying to move us further and further down the road to this breakup of America.
Well, of course, it's all pretty basic, and we've seen it play out this week. If you don't stop rioting, you only encourage more rioting. And it looks like the current strategy by Trump, in spite of some of his tweets that I certainly agree with, and they're just empty tweets, it looks like the current strategy is to wait until they tire out from heat exhaustion or something. You know, for all that they said about Bull Connor, I guarantee you that Bull Connor and the Alabama State Troopers would have restored order by now.
Well, look at what they did. I'm glad you brought that up. They were supposed to be so cruel and so draconian towards those protesters. What did they do? They had police dogs on leashes, and they would move out with the dogs barking at the people. They never let them bite them and whatnot. And then, on the other hand, they used water hoses on them. You know, that water hoses.
On a hot summer day, you know, you can do a lot.
You know, if that's your standard for cruelty, what does kid glove treatment look like?
I'm glad we're on this for a moment, because I want to say something about this very quickly. I don't want to live in the past, but, you know, we interviewed the officer who booked Rosa Parks, and there was something he said when we talked to him that was very interesting. I think you'll like to hear it again. Stay tuned.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, we got on this right before the last break. Let's compare how these riots are being tended to versus the way the Southern police force in Alabama, especially, dealt with
the civil rights movement
in the late 60s.
And in the mid 60s or the early 60s.
And what we had Drew Lackey, Officer Drew Lackey, he later became Chief Lackey of the Montgomery. He was the chief of police in Montgomery, Alabama. Yeah, he was pictured in the iconic photo fingerprinting Rosa Parks after her arrest. Well, anyway, he knew Martin Luther King. He knew Rosa Parks. He knew all the players. And because back then, when the blacks were planning a riot, they actually did work with the local police to let them know when they were coming, what their route would be. It was relatively, compared to now, organized. Now, of course, the blacks got out of hand. You had a lot of miscreants throwing feces and urine, and they would engage in some destruction, and that's when
that
you
would
saw.
Never show up on the film that was on NBC,
no,
CBS,
the film,
and ABC.
The film started rolling after the dogs and the water hoses were let loose, but that was, of course, after the larceny.
The provocations.
That's right, and, of course, that's the part that's left out of the historical record. But anyway, we talked with Drew Lackey, and see, even back then, he got wind of an attack that was going to be visited or alleged to have been planned against Ralph Abernathy, and he saved the life of Abernathy and some of the people at his church, and he got him out of there. But these are supposed to be the bad guys. Well, I ask you this. I will say this, too. George Wallace is certainly having his revenge this week. I mean, he is looking down from heaven saying, I told you so. But what we're seeing now, forget it. They go out, they do whatever they want, they're feral, and wait, look, what did Gucci and Rolex have to do with your grief and mourning of George Floyd? You know, sacking a Gucci store, these high-end luxury...
Rodeo Drive,
yeah. I mean, you know, so they're looting all of these stores. I mean, it is just they've got to get out of jail free card because of their black privilege. That's what it is. And listen... Everybody, including Pat Buchanan, I might add, have kind of rolled over on this cop. I want to see the evidence. I want it to go to trial, and I want to see what happens. The county attorney where George Floyd's death occurred has now said there is evidence that does not support a criminal charge. Now we know that he has previously been arrested and convicted for armed robbery, drug possession, trespassing, theft, you name it.
Well, what these people ought to know is that by throwing Derek Chauvin under the bus, they haven't gained themselves a darn thing. Not one thing in the world, okay? Don't give up. Don't turn on your own people. Don't leave your wounded in the field. We need to do like the other side does. Show some manhood. Stand up and stand up for your people and your race.
You've got mob rule nationwide now. Mob rule. And as America, listen, this is going to be par for the course now. It's going to become increasingly common. And again, I go quickly to the official autopsy report. The autopsy revealed no physical findings that support a diagnosis of traumatic asphyxia or strangulation. Basically, they're saying this guy died because of the drugs he was on, and
he
underlying
was having
conditions.
A heart attack due to fentanyl. I imagine.
And if he hadn't resisted arrest, he wouldn't have been on the ground at all. But he was taking a lot of uppers. And yes, that's right, Sam.
Another coronavirus test.
Well, he did. They did say he had coronavirus as well. So, but he was taking a lot of the same uppers and downers that killed John Belushi. But there has been, again, I've always wanted to see statues of people like Abraham Lincoln come down. I never thought it would be the horde that actually did it.
You
for
know,
us.
This is just, you talk about accelerating
it.
Look
at CNN. Keith, they were ransacking CNN. CNN is 24/7 Black Lives Matter propaganda outlet. It is literally their voice.
I'd like to see them bungholing Anderson Cooper.
they are breaking in. Yeah. That's a great point. George Floyd is the only victim of coronavirus that has not been tagged as such. But they broke into CNN, busting out the windows, spray painting their sign. CNN wasn't even spared after decades of pandering to these people and incessant anti-white propaganda. Again, they are their mouthpiece.
What do? They double down on their anti-white coverage. More cowbell by CNN, MSNBC. ABC,
look at
CBS.
You see the picture right here, Keith. You see it right here. Look at them. They're on top of the CNN sign in Atlanta. And it's just completely spray painted into the face. You would have thought it was a Confederate monument. This guy standing on top waving Black Lives Matter flag. I mean, this is their voice. But I tell you, this whole law and order crap from Donald Trump and the GOP, forget it. The GOP has to die. It has to die.
The GOP is not doing anything. Donald Trump is all us, you know, talk and no action, as Elvis would say. Too much conversation, not enough action. Wyatt, he comes out and pats himself on the back for declaring Antifa a terrorist organization. He should have done that first and foremost in Charlottesville. But now, rather than he won't call Black Lives Matter a terrorist group, and they're every bit as much of a terrorist group as Antifa. And they've
Although I'm glad he said Antifa was a terrorist group. It's certainly true. But he's just tweeting it. I don't think there's going to be an official declaration. And if he believed it, why would he allow these so-called terrorists to continue to ransack American cities? It should have been done the day after. That was a week ago almost now. Should have instantly been stopped. But
should have put the U.S. Armed Forces, which basically shouldn't be used to police the American people. That's what the Posse Comitatus Act said. But then on the other hand, they ignored Posse Comitatus at Little Rock in 1957 and at Ole Miss in 1962. So why break their tradition? Send the troops in and restore order. And if you do that, Donald Trump, you will be reelected. If you give us more, lip service and no real action, you're going to lose.
Again, we have to go back and reiterate that what the mob is attacking and destroying is no friend of white people. Our dog in this fight is to point out that what we are witnessing is the end game of diversity. Now, I am all for the statement that we are against racism, because the only real racism that I have seen this week is coming from the black on onto
the white racism.
Look at this Van Jones guy. Van Jones, the CNN political commentator, said this week on CNN that every white person has a virus in their brain. It's too late to be innocent. The Jewish commentator Tim Wise said white parents have to basically take away their children's innocence because no white child is innocent. We cannot live with these people, but we can live without them. And Van Jones is going to be hosting an interview on CNN this week with Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch and Cookie Monster and all of the Sesame Street characters talking to kids about racism. Well, that's all well and good, but what about the racism that we have heard from his own mouth?
Where are they going to hold this thing? Basically, CNN studios have been burnt down. Let these guys come in. I'd love to see him try to come on TV and then have Black Lives Matter and Antifa come in there whip the tar out of him. That would be wonderful.
Every white person has a virus in their brain. Never, ever in 16 years of radio have we said anything as controversial and evil as that. And that is your non-racist
your paragon head of purity, Van Jones and CNN. You know, just the facts, ma'am. That's all they do.
As we watch these liberal cities burn and the woke establishment storefronts burn this week, we see clearly that no amount of appeasement will ever suffice. Everything comes back to race, and it's time for whites to take their own side. If the mob hasn't been appeased by now, and we've talked about all the concessions they've been given over the last 40 years, what will appease them? Nothing except our death. And these white people out there, all of these white girls out there, this is what happens in the absence of strong male leaders, strong fathers, strong role models. What a shame it would be to be the parent of any of these whites that have been out there.
Let me tell you, what this proves definitely, definitively, is that color blindness will not work. You're not impressing Black Lives Matter or Antifa with your colorblind approach. You're not approaching them. You're not impressing them by throwing Derek Chauvin under the bus or the McMasters under the bus. People like that, look, you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to be a white person because you have no choice. You can go in blackface like Ralph Northam, but that's not going to fool anybody. You're going to have to stand up for your own people or else you and your family are going down.
I don't have any hatred in my heart for blacks or any minorities. I really don't. I mean, we live in Memphis. We interact with non-whites every day, and I'm as polite to them as to anyone else. If I did have any disdain in my heart for anyone, it would be these people out there who are so ignorant. These white people.
These white Gentile backstabbers. That's what I would call them.
I mean, what are they protesting, though? There is no racial injustice. There is no police brutality. Every now and then, I think at best you could say there was an accidental death of a black man while he was being detained, while on drugs and in the, you know, committing of a crime. But there
because
is no
he resisted
police.
Arrest.
What, because he all of that. But I'm just saying, what are they protesting? There is no white on black police brutality. There, white cops are not out there looking to brutalize
black criminality against
it's
white
fantasy.
People. Black people's criminality against white people far outnumbers the reverse, white criminality on black people. With all of the, for example, only black lives that matter apparently are those of black criminals that are injured or killed by white policemen. What about all those numerous hundreds and thousand fold times where a black kid is killed by another black person? Those are black lives that don't matter.
That's right. That's right. Oh, we're just getting started. Stay tuned.
Is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.